you, my heart with your love. Oh, sha-na-na-na, you have captured my heart, consumed my heart with your love. Oh, you have captured my heart, consumed my heart with your love. Ayadaba sharabande. If all I say is Jesus, 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 it's more than enough. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. If all I say is Jesus, it's more than enough. Are there believers in this place? Come on, are you excited to be born again? Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm excited that if all I have is Jesus, it's more than enough. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We give you glory. It's another time to sit at the feet of Jesus. And we say thank you for how you've been blessing us with your word. Thank you for the month of August. It's been amazing walking in prosperity. Thank you, Father, for light. Thank you, Father, for mind renewal. Oh, Lord, we give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. Oh, can you just lift up your hands and just thank him? Shanda baligero shotondi arabahandi. Mako shotondi braligero shatandi. Oh, Father, we say thank you. La liga da baha. Robo shende kelira bahanda. We are grateful, God. For in Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. Father, Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus that you take over tonight's meeting, oh God. That you speak to your daughters. Let not be me speaking. I ask that you speak to your daughters tonight. Oh, Father, Lord, grant us wisdom. Grant us the spirit of wisdom and revelation knowledge. Let the eyes of our understanding be open to see that prosperity is indeed ours in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. For in Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you excited? That is another at his feet meeting. I am super excited. Can we give God a shout of praise? Glory! Okay, so tonight we are going to continue where we stopped last week. How many of us were blessed by last week's meeting? I was blessed. I was blessed. God is good. God is good. God is good. So last week I mentioned how that we didn't finish, you know, we're cut off. I apologize for that. But we'll continue tonight. But I'm just going to do a little recap of what we learned last week. For those of us that are just joining in, you know, or just connecting in, can, you know, flow. You know, I shared with us how that God is mindful of us. And we saw how that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, he said it twice, that the Father knows what you need before you ask him. So it's not like God does not know, or God is not aware about, you know, your needs, the bills you need to pay. He knows. He's already in the know. Hallelujah. God is already in the know, even before you ask him. Alright, God is mindful of us. Glory to God. And I went on to talk about how that, you know, our faith in God determines how we can receive from him. And I showed us how that when Peter, you know, Jesus told Peter to come to him, to walk on the river. And then Peter began to walk in the river. And then Jesus said to him, why did you doubt? Because Peter started to drown. So Jesus said to him, why did you doubt? Hallelujah. Glory to God. And then, you know, we saw how that Jesus said to him, O ye of little faith, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? Some of us, we need to up our faith level. We don't trust God enough to meet our needs. Amen. We don't trust him enough to meet our needs. Hallelujah. We doubt that God can meet our needs. And the Bible says that, you know, if you ask God for something in James and you doubt, he said, don't, that kind of person cannot receive from God. A double-minded man who cannot ask God in faith who cannot trust God to meet his needs and answer his prayers should not think can receive from God, you know. And then we saw how that faith is an equalizer. The Canaanite woman that came to cry concerning a child, you know, being possessed with a demon, and then Jesus said, I've been sent to the lost sheep of Israel. I cannot, you know, I've not been sent to you. And Jesus said, I can't give, you know, children's bread to dogs. And then the woman said, even the crumbs from the table, dogs can eat it. And then Jesus was like, what? Your faith is large. Like, your faith is great. And then he said, go, your daughter has been healed. Amen. So it doesn't matter whether, you know, she was a Canaanite woman, not of the stock of Israel, you know, not part of the people that Jesus was sent to, but by faith, she was able to pull a miracle, pull her desires from Jesus. So really, faith is an equalizer. All right, and I mentioned that, stop envying people. God is rich unto all that call upon his name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What this person has. Hallelujah. If you don't have it yet, build your faith. Amen. By faith, you can receive it from God as well. All right. Glory to God. Amen. And then I went on to talk about how there's instruction in provision. And I mentioned that briefly. When Jesus said to Peter to go to the river, he's going to see a fish. And he's going to see coin in the fish for him to use to pay the tax. What if Peter didn't listen to Jesus? What if Peter felt, this is your instruction now, wow. No, and I told us how that, you know, God, you know, has been giving some of us instructions. Start this business, take this course, do this thing, you know, go for this training, you know, start this particular thing. But many of us just are begging, not doing. You know, you take these things lightly, and then you're wondering why you're still on the same level financially. Alright, it's not why you're on the same level financially. You're not taking the instructions that God is giving you seriously. Amen. Glory to God. And then, what else did we look at again? Oh, we now went to talk about, and I mentioned how that I want to start teaching us natural laws. And we looked at Proverbs 22 verse 29. How that a man that is diligent in his business, he shall stand before kings. It shall not stand before mean men. It shall not stand before obscure men. Obscurity is when you are hidden, when you are not discovered. The man who is diligent in his business. The word diligent means skillful. The man who is skillful in his business. Alright. Who knows what he's doing. Who knows his onions. Alright. This person will stand before kings and not mean men. He will not be hidden. He will be discovered. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And then I asked us, do you have a preoccupation? Do you have a business? Do you have something you're doing? Do you have a works of hands? Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 10 says that whatever your hand finds to do, do with all your might. Amen. It's such a shocker that today many believers just wanna go to church, clap hands, and, you know, pray, fast, do all the spiritual stuff, and then they don't want to walk. They don't want to be diligent. They don't want to be skillful at anything. See, those kind of believers will never walk in prosperity. Yes, they may jam miracles here and there. You know, God rescue missions. Because God will always want to rescue children. They will jam rescue missions. But the truth is, you know, they will not walk in prosperity. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Bible tells us, say God, it says that, and he shall spend his days in prosperity. God wants us to spend our days in prosperity. He doesn't just want us to have a miracle alert this month. And the next month, we're like, God, where are thou? Do you understand? God wants you to be a person of value. God wants you to be skillful at something. God wants you to be diligent at something in your business. God wants you to have a business. He wants you to have something you're doing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. But you see, a lot of Christians, they want to be poor. They want to be lazy, rather. They don't want to do it. They just want to be praying and calling forth, you know, speaking in other tongues and doing all of these things. Yes, these things, they have their place. But it's just like doing mathematics, you know, doing plus one, minus one, see zero. You are taking all the spiritual energy. and then you're not using it in the right, you know, you're not putting it in the right direction, you still remain in one place. Amen. But somebody who has a works of hand, something they are doing, they wake up in your morning and they go shakata. Angels of God, manda balabahai, as I go to work today, favor locates me. Bring customers, bring clients. These are the people that, you know, will be seeing, you know, the result of what they are saying. Amen. Hallelujah. So tonight we're going to go further. We're going to continue with natural laws. I'm going to say some, you know, few things, and I'm going to share what God said to share with us today. Trust me, it's going to bless you. All right. I want you to, you know, do it with every form of distraction, and let's key into what God is saying to us today. Hallelujah. All right. So I remember stopping at 1 Samuel. Right? Was it 1 Samuel now? 1 Samuel chapter 16 last week. Amen. You know, talking about said that a man diligent in his business is that stand before kings and not men. All right. And then I talked about how that David, you know, was one of the people that, you know, exemplify that scripture. So I want us to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 13. Amen. We're going to read it. We're going to read it. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 13. It says, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. All right, you know, Saul had messed up. So God was like, I can't do this anymore. I need another king. You know, go and anoint his neighbor. And then God said, have somebody already in Jesse's house, Jesse's son. And then Samuel went to Bethlehem to locate Jesse. And then his son stood before him. And then he anointed David. All right. So as he anointed David, the Spirit of God came upon David from that day forward. And the Bible says that the Spirit of God left Saul, and then an evil spirit, you know, the Bible says an evil spirit from God troubles him. Alright, so now this is not like God has evil spirit to give people. The truth is, when the Spirit of God leaves a man, anything can enter into that person. So that's what happened to Saul. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the Spirit of God left him, and then Saul became troubled. Glory to God. And then something happened. Something happened. Verse 15. And the servants of Saul said unto him, behold now, an evil spirit from God troubled thee. Then they said in 16, says, let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player on an harp. And it shall come to pass that when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that it shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And then Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Glory to God. You see, guys, some servants are promoters. Some servants are gatekeepers. I mentioned last week that this is why we need to honor all men. You don't know who your plug will be. You don't know who is going to recommend you to kings. Imagine the king was in trouble. Amen. The king was in trouble. And then they said to him, this one that you're in trouble like this. We know you need to go and look for somebody who can play and harp for you. And you know, when he plays, this person will play and then you'll be fine. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And then Saul said, okay. Alright, look for that kind of person for me. Amen. You know, the anointing of God for the palace was upon David. But the means for him to get to the palace, to get into the throne, to ascend and stay in that throne, you know, was not available to David. But by the working of the Holy Ghost, alright, things were already working together for the good of David. To bring him to the palace. To bring him to his place of destiny. And look at the first point that God used. He used servants. He used people recommending him before the king. And then somebody now said in verse 18, He says, then answered one of the servants and said unto, Saul, he says, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite. Can you see how, things are now working together to make sure that David would come into the palace? He says that he's cunning in playing, a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person. The Lord is with him. 19. Saul sent messengers. See, wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse, and said, send me David thy son, which is with the sheep. Hi. He even knew what the son was doing. As in, that means people are observing you. The guy was in the backside of the wilderness, helping his father's, catering, taking care of his father's sheep. Amen. He said, send your son to me, which is with the sheep. You think people don't know what you're doing? You think nobody's watching you? In that wilderness, that quiet place that you have, you're just doing what you're doing shabbily. Who is seeing, Jerry? I beg you. Nobody's paying attention. I have heard of stories of people who were, maids, and how they served their madam properly, and then just by serving, most of them are not in the country any longer. They are abroad now. Glory to God. Amen. People are watching you. Glory to God. People know. You think nobody knows what you are doing? I'm sorry. People know. Amen. That's why you need to do what you're doing with excellence. Whatever your hands find to do, you need to do it what well. You need to do it with all your might. Hallelujah. Not with eye service. When people are watching you, you not be doing it well. But when nobody's there, you not do it anyhow. No. Hallelujah. And then Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid and sent them by David his son unto Saul. Glory to God. And David came to Saul and stood before Saul, and Saul loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul said to Jesse, saying, let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he has found favor in thy sight. Seest thou a man what? Diligent in his business, he shall do what? Stand before kings and all men. This is the word of God. It's a law. It's a law. Nothing can be done against the truth but for the truth. This is God's word. If you are skillful, if you are good at something, you will definitely stand before people that matter. I'm telling you the truth. This is God's word. Hallelujah. This is God's word. Amen. So you need to be good at something. You need to take that which you're doing seriously. Find means to improve yourself. Hallelujah. Find means to improve that which you're doing. Invest in trainings. We're going to talk about that later. But while we're reading the scripture, how many of us saw that human beings are key players for God to increase a man, for God to elevate a man? You can see how that the servant, so John suggested, another servant, I said, I've seen a man. I've seen one of the sons of Jesse. See, don't joke with man. No. Don't joke with man. Some of you that have bad characters, bad, manner of approach. You are not polite. You talk to people anyhow. You just take everybody. You don't care about people. Don't joke with man. Amen. See, God, God is God. But if God wants to uplift you, he's not going to come down, and uplift you. He's going to use a man. Amen. Even when he wanted to save the world, he had to come wrapped up in the flesh of a man. Glory to God. The children of Israelites were expecting the Messiah that's going to look mystical, that's going to come and then he's going to have, holo and then be flying. No. Amen. We are in the physical world. We are in the sense realm. So you need to be sensitive. Hallelujah. God uses man. He uses men. He will use men. He will use men to uplift you. He will use men to elevate you. Hallelujah. So that's why the Bible says, Paul said, as much as he be with you, be at peace with all men. Be at peace with all men. Some of you, God has been, wanted to uplift you since last year. But everybody just uses, he wants to use. That person, I beg. Her character is just too bad. No, we can't take her. Let's take another person. No. People are just, See, when God says that he's going to afflict you, he's going to use men to do it. Hallelujah. Say, I honor all men. Say, I walk in love. Hallelujah to God. Amen. And it came to pass that David stood before the king. He became his armor bearer from the backside of the wilderness, just by recommendation and just by a man that is good at something. He became the king's armor bearer. See thou a man skillful in his business. He will stand before kings and not men. I want to ask you, what can you do with your hands? Amen. The Bible says, as David played with his hands, he says, verse 23, it says, and it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hands, so that Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. The guy was good. It was good what he was doing. He was good with what he was doing. Oh God. You know, my husband was telling me how that two people came to a particular company. They pitched for the contract. One person said 250,000. Another person said 1.2 million naira. Guess what? They gave the person that pitched for 2 million naira and 1.2 million naira. You know why? Because the person that was pitching for 250, they're like, this person is hungry. This person was charging like an hungry man. But when I was pitching for 1.2 million naira, he knew what he was doing. He knew what he had to offer. He knew what he had to offer. Some people, the way they do their business, they are driven by need. Because I need, I want to eat, I'm hungry, I shall need money. So they shall just do their thing, shabba shabba. Shabba shabba, they just do anyhow. And then they just put one amount, okay, everybody come. Just come and learn. You know, come and, you know, just want to, you know, put it in anyhow. Put it shabbily. But there are people who know their onions. See, I want to say this to those of you who are into knowledge service providing, or you have particular products you provide, that you know you know your what, you know your onions, you know that this thing you're doing is not, don't reduce your standard because of, and no, don't allow lack mentality drive you, you know, to shortchange yourself. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Glory to God. That means David knew what he was doing. It's because the king was refreshed. He was skillful. He was good at what he was doing. Are you good at what you're doing? Amen. Okay, some people now, they even shoot their prices, but they don't have anything. No content, no nothing. The product is bad. Amen. How good are you at what you're doing? What can you do with your hands? Amen. Glory to God. See, no lady in this community listening to me must be idle. I'm telling you, you cannot be idle. Refuse it, and I reject it for you. No lady listening to me in this LG community should be idle. Go and find something to do. Go and find something. There's no work. Who told you there's no work? Have you tried volunteering? Have you tried to help somebody before? Do you even know that ordinary babysitting people's children is a serious service providing. Hallelujah. I was reading a book one time and I saw that in the US, people even pay people to babysit their pets, their dogs. Hallelujah. You know, you can meet someone and say, I want to teach your children. I want to train them. Anything you can offer is fine. You can start from there. Glory to God. See, as thou a man diligent in his business. Take what you're doing seriously. I take what God has called me to do to your ministry, I take it seriously. WLG, it's not every time I come up here that I feel like teaching and, you know, sharing. And no, I take what God has called me to do seriously. Hallelujah. So take what you're doing seriously. You know, maybe they may start by paying 5,000 naira. So, glory to God. Lift it up and say, Father, though my beginning may be small, but my latter hand shall greatly increase. I'll be diligent with this thing. I'll improve myself. And your word says I'll stand before kings. And I trust you to uplift me. Amen. Instead of just looking, waiting for the day that one bag of money will appear in your room. Sorry. Everybody who is ready to walk in prosperity, kingdom prosperity, must go through process. He that is faithful in little will be faithful in much. God is not a magician. Amen. Yes, he will meet your needs. He will provide for you. But God is going to take you by the hand, by the way. He's going to lift you step by step as you are faithful. As you are faithful. Glory to Jesus. Some of you right now, you can't even account for how you spend 5,000 or 10,000. How do you want to account for how you spend 1 million or 100,000? How? Amen. Glory to God. We can see another person in the Bible by the name Joseph. By the name Joseph. You know, he was locked up in prison. But how did he come out of prison and stood before Pharaoh? It was his gift. He was able to interpret dreams. The gift of Joseph took him to the palace. Made him a prime minister overnight. Those of you that you have recognized your gifting, you have recognized that which God has gifted and graced you with. You can write. You can talk. You can sing. You know that you have been gifted. You can organize. Some of you can administrate. Some of you can plan projects. You can plan events. Some of you can give business counsel. You are gifted. See, there's nobody that doesn't have any gift. I'm telling you. Some of you can draw. You can do things. Do you know your gift? Have you recognized it? Can you spend time with God and spend time with yourself, discovering God, discovering yourself in Him, and then find your gift? The Bible says the gift of a man will make room for him. You know, there's one of my siblings, so dear to my heart. I looked at his life and I'm in awe of God. See, the gift of a man is powerful. The gift of a man, he started, left secondary school when he was done. You know, this is like a boy that people just feel is very quiet, very timid, doesn't, because my brother is just like that. But he had a gift. He had a passion. He loved drawing all those cartoon, fighting, something. You know, and he started, you know, we'll draw, we'll be learning how to do it. He didn't even have money for data at that time. So he would start drawing people with pencil to send to them, and then they'll pay him 500 naira. You know, to cut the long story short, right now he's how old is he? Maybe, I think he'll be 19 this year. He's not playing with Nigerians. Like, his gift is not, he's relating with people abroad. They even think he's abroad. They think he's a white person, but he's a Nigerian. They call him the best animator. In fact, if you go and Google about him, they said, I was reading a comment about his work, and they're like, he took the animation world by storm. Is it 17 million views? That'd be 7 million views on YouTube. Today, YouTube pays him. I can't tell you how much. I honestly cannot. The gift of a man. The gift is when you're taking your gift lightly. Night and day, he's always improving himself on this particular skill. Why are you taking your gift shabbily? Why are you taking your gift like it doesn't matter? Why? If you're gifted, I want you to start refining your gift. God can use your gift to take you and your entire generation out of hunger forever. Hallelujah. When they were saying recession, it wasn't a recession for him. Once this time, you know, YouTube pays him his money. Glory to God. Young boy talks in some figures that even me, I'm like, God, the gift of a man. What are you gifted him? Saul the king had a problem. And a man with skill was called David. Pharaoh the king had a problem. He had a dream. He didn't understand it. A man with a gift was called. What skill do you have? What gift do you have? Amen. What gift do you have? You know, I was sharing with us how that God, you know, showed me that my gift was in teaching God's word. He's called me, you know, ministry gift, the teacher of God's word, and started refining this gift when I started serving in church, in foundation school. You know, I started serving in church 2012. So in 2016, I was out of school. And then 2018, I started getting invites, you know, to come and speak in different places. Although my first speaking invite was in 2013 anyways, you know, in Lagos. And I stood before pastors and married people, a young lady, 200 level, stood before them in Lagos Island. And I taught God's word, the gift of a man. And at the end of that meeting, a lady came to me and said, "You changed my life forever." You know, and then I went back into the cocoon, you know, to keep on refining this gift. 2018, I started getting invites, you know, come minister there, come minister here. You know, from WhatsApp invites, I started getting live events invites. And I went for one, a particular invite, and I just spoke for, it wasn't up to 30 minutes. And when I was leaving, you know, they packaged money to say thank you for coming. I mean, I was like the gift of a man. Just to talk. Just to teach. So that means as I keep increasing in this gift, the value will also increase. Amen. The gift of a man. See, don't take your gift for granted. Amen. Though your beginning may be small, you may be receiving, you know, little change here and there from your gift. But see, the Bible says in Job chapter 8 verse 7, it says your latter hand should greatly increase. As long as you're moving in the right direction, you're following the leading of the Holy Spirit, your latter hand should greatly increase. Hallelujah. I don't know who this word is for tonight, but I believe that God has a word for somebody here. Be encouraged, beloved. Don't give up. Don't give up. See, that which you're doing, someday soon, not so far, somebody will call you and say, because of your gift, because of your skill, I was able to move from point A to where I am today. I have a gift for you. I want you to choose any car of your choice. Send me the bill and I'll buy it for you. The gift of a man. See, don't joke with your gift, oh. Don't joke with your gift, oh. Ah, hey. The kingdom of God is a reward system. It's a reward system. You may not see the reward instantly, but see, the reward will surely come. It will surely come. It will surely come. It will surely come. Glory to God. It may just be a food that you cook for somebody. I don't know who's drawing this food word from me. Maybe it's Prudy. It may just be a food you cooked for someone. And the person's soul was, I mean, the person was refreshed. Amen. Hallelujah. And then the person says, I need to bless you. What do you want? What do you do? What do you do? Was it not dance that Herodias' daughter danced for King Herod, and he was so pleased and he said, anything you want, let me. And then she now asked for John the Baptist's head. Who says you cannot cook for somebody? And the person is like, please, who are you? I need you. This is your food. I've never tasted a food like this. Can you be my personal chef? The gift of a man. And all those times when you are cooking and you are begging for, dragging people for 2,000 naira a year, 1,000 naira, even pricing. This man, he doesn't even care any amount you call, he gives you. The gift of a man. Make room for him. See, when I wake up in the morning, when I pray, I say, Father, thank you for my gift. You need to start thanking the Father for your gift. What can you do? Thank him for it. If you've discovered it, well, if you've not discovered it, you need to ask God
for light to show it to you. It's not far-fetched, beloved. It's not far-fetched. It's within you. It's in you. Amen. Glory to Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your word. Now let's run. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4 to 5. It says, "He becometh poor that deals with a slack hand." It says, "But the hand of the diligent makes rich." Verse 5. It says, "He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleeps in harvest is a son that causes shame." No, but my concentration is in verse 4. It says, "He becomes poor." Ha! Shakatala badabaha. So it means that even if Jesus has become poor for you, 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9, if Jesus has become poor for you, that you might be rich, if you deal with a slack hand, you will be poor. What does it mean to be slack? Lazy. Lazy. You will be rich spiritually because that transaction has been done. Jesus said it is finished. He becometh poor that you through his poverty might be rich. Jesus has already done it. You'll be rich spiritually, but physically, you'll be broke. The TPT translation says, slackers will not know what it means. It says, slackers will know what it means to be poor, while the hard workers become wealthy. Slackers will know what it means to be poor, while the hard worker becomes wealthy. NLT says, lazy people are soon poor. Hey, glory to Jesus. Lazy people are soon poor. I'm saying glory to Jesus because the word of God is giving us wisdom tonight. So it means that if you don't want to be poor, don't be lazy. Don't be lazy. Don't be lazy. Spend all your day on social media doing nothing, chatting and gisting away. 5 hours is gone. You've not done anything for that day. Lazy people are so poor. You sleep all through the night. You don't have time to do anything. He says, hard workers get rich. You see, this is that my baby brother was telling you about. If I take you to where he stays now, in the night he wakes up. Even now that there's money coming, he sit down with his laptop and his gadget, working. All through the night, sometimes till like 6, 5. Then we go to bed and sleep. Hallelujah. But some people cannot even observe a vigil for what they are doing. Spiritual vigil, zero. Mental work vigil, they cannot afford it. Lazy people are soon poor. Hard workers get rich. Now, I want to ask the question, why would a man who is skilled and diligent in his work, why would he serve kings? Why would he serve kings? Someone say value. Hallelujah, value. It's because they have something that they need. They have something that they need. They have something that they need. Do you have something that people need? Do you have something that I need? How valuable are you? What goods or services can you provide? What grace or skill or talent do you possess? Hallelujah. Glory to God. To walk in prosperity, beloved, you must possess either a skill or a gift that is valuable. Hallelujah. You must be a person of value. You must be a person of value. It's not just enough to say, I have a gift. And then now your gift is serving nobody, is blessing nobody, is helping nobody, is transforming nobody, is not meeting the needs of anybody. That's not a valuable gift. But every gift that God has given us is valuable. So you need to walk with the wisdom of God to help you know how to make this gift serve people so that it will be valuable, so that people can perceive the value in your gift. Some of you can sing. But someone is dying of depression beside you. And all the person needs is just someone who can just minister a worship to that person. Sing a song, a melody. Or maybe you are waiting until you are like Sinach before you start. I pity you. You better start. Hallelujah. You better start recording with your phone. Someone reaches out to you and says, I'm depressed, I'm feeling all bad. Can I send you a song? Just listen to it. And you send the person the song. The person is like, oh, I'm so blessed by this song. And do you know that it can even start from there? And then people, they keep sharing that song, sharing that song. Everybody that is feeling bad, they keep sharing that song. They're like, who sang this song? And then one day, they're like, whoever sang this song, we need to find that person. And then they find you out. And then people say, you need to have an album. Play with the gift of a man. Hallelujah. Make yourself valuable. Hallelujah. How do you do that? Quickly. How do you make yourself valuable? For example, all of us, we have natural hair, right? We have natural hair. But if we want to make our hair so appealing, what do we do? We'll go and relax it, straighten it, some roll it, some buy attachments to make it look all good and everything. Am I right? To make yourself valuable, you need to invest in yourself. Someone say, I need to invest in myself. You need to invest in yourself. Glory to God. You need to invest in yourself. Hallelujah. Turn with me to the book of 2nd. Okay, let's go to 1 Corinthians 14 first. You need to invest in yourself. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 4. Amen. You need to invest in yourself spiritually. You need to invest in yourself. The Bible says, he that prays in an unknown tongue improves himself. Improves himself. That should be the TPT translation. He that prays in an unknown tongue improves himself. The Bible says, you know, when we pray in other tongues, Jude 1 verse 20 says, building up yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You know, praying in the Holy Ghost. Another translation says that as we pray in other tongues, we are building up ourselves like an edifice. Hallelujah. Spiritually, you need to build yourself. Amen. Invest in yourself. Improve yourself. There's an illustration the Holy Spirit gave me when I was in school then. Talking about operating system, OS. You know, some of you, then people used to upgrade their phone. The phone has a particular OS, so they upgrade it. As you upgrade your phone, you know, the function of the phone and the, you know, features of the phone, it serves you better. Hallelujah. So when you pray in other tongues, you're improving yourself. You're getting better. Hallelujah to God. You're getting more light, more wisdom on how to do what you need to do. You are reading a book. Somebody says, I read that book. I'm not able to me. But you read that same book. That's a business book with a charged up spirit. And you know what to do. 2 Timothy 2 verse 15 says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman not that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Hallelujah. You study. Study God's word. Study around what God has called you to do. You know, some people don't even have materials concerning. I mean, I'm amazed. You say you are into a particular skill. You don't have one material that you are reading or watching or something, a training or something about that skill to make you better. Study to show yourself approved unto God. You also need to study to show yourself approved unto men. Yes, when you go for job interviews and they ask you some certain questions, if you've not been studying, if you're not, you know, conversant with that area, they're not going to give you the job. Hallelujah. To be a workman that does not need to be ashamed, that rightly divides the word of truth. You know, it was Paul talking to Timothy now, because Timothy was a young pastor. Hallelujah. You know, so he has to divide the word of truth. Some of you is word of bake and cake. You know, you need to divide. Word of material, tailoring, sewing, that you need to divide. So you need to study. You need to research. Hallelujah to God. Go for trainings. Read books. Follow the right set of people in your field that are doing better. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 1 Timothy 4 verse 15 says, okay, 1 Timothy 1 4 verse 13 says, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Amen. See, when it is the other community, this is the month of August. It is passing. That's past. We're entering the month of September. Make up your mind from today that no month will go by without you not finishing at least one book, no matter how busy you are. Amen. Jesus kept saying, have you not read? Reading is not just for, you know, professors. Reading is a kingdom culture. You must get in tune, get in love with reading. Hallelujah. Then I love what, you know, he said in verse 15. He says, meditate upon these things, give yourself wholly to them. To what? To reading. He just talked about reading now. Because one of the things he said is reading. So give yourself wholly to reading. He says that your profiting may appear unto all. You want to be a top of your, going to the top of your game in your field. You want to be highly sought after. You need to invest in yourself. You need to invest in yourself. There are materials. All of the free books, free videos on YouTube, watch, go for training, listen to tapes. Amen. Buy books, read books, attend seminars. Don't just waste your time on social media, things that don't improve yourself. Right now, as the street is going on, some people are busy doing other things on social media that will not add to their destiny, and they are part of this community. Amen. But you are here, you are hearing God's word. Is doing something to you. Some things are shifting. Some things are entering. Some things are adjusting in your heart. Hallelujah. Make yourself valuable. Glory to God. Alright, now to the word that, you know, God will have me deliver to us tonight. This was just a continuation of last week. Amen. I believe we're blessed. Glory to God. So to the word that God wants me to share with us for this week, please listen attentively. In fact, while we wait for that word, I just want you to pray in tongues. So God about the rebo god do he mazo hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. So the Lord, you know, began to speak to me how that what is holding some of his children, you know, from walking in prosperity is actually not because they don't have the right mindset, not because they're not working, not because they don't know or believe that Jesus, you know, has become poor, that they might be rich. It's not because they don't know that they've been redeemed from poverty. But the enemy is playing a game with them. Unconsciously, he's using this game called condemnation. He's using this game called what? Condemnation. Father, let light shine in our hearts tonight, and let us all be delivered from this condemnation. For as many people who the enemy has tied down with this condemnation, let them be delivered in the name of Jesus. Condemnation. This feeling of I don't deserve it. This feeling of why should I deserve this? I don't think I deserve this. This feeling of I don't deserve it. The Bible says in Romans 8 verse 1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. The TPT says, I love the TPT version. It says, so now the case is closed. There remains no accusing voice of condemnation against those who are joined in life union with Jesus, the anointed one. There remains no accusing voice of condemnation. Some of you, the reason that you're not walking in prosperity the way you should is because of an accusing voice of condemnation. A voice that keeps telling you that you don't deserve it. You don't deserve to look good. You don't deserve to wear good. You don't deserve to drive the car, the good ones. You don't deserve to use good stuff. Some of you, the only kind of things you use are secondhand things. The voice of condemnation keeps coming to tell you, You don't deserve to use a good phone. You don't deserve to. Who told you deserve to even look good, to even, you know, do a good hair? You don't deserve a voice of condemnation. You don't deserve this pay. So when they ask you how much would you like to be paid, you shortchange yourself. The voice of condemnation. You know in your heart that this is how much you need. You know, for your monthly boy, and they're asking you how much should we pay you monthly. You're like, maybe you need like 50k. Or you're like, well, if you can just pay me like 20,000, I'll be fine. You say, okay, no problem, I'll pay you 15. You're like, okay. Voice of condemnation that makes you feel you don't worth it. Who told you don't worth it? Who told you don't worth to be paid more than enough? If you even tell them that, see, you want 50,000 and then they pay you 70. Who told you don't worth it? Who told you don't deserve it? 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9 says, Jesus, not some aboki or one malam. Jesus became poor for your sakes, that you would deserve wealth, that you will be deserving of the good life, that you will be rich. Who told you don't deserve it? Who told you don't deserve it? Some people say, who am I to deserve this? Who are you not to deserve it? You deserve to be blessed. You deserve to be favored. It's your birthright. You were born with a silver spoon in Christ Jesus. You were born to walk in prosperity. You were born to be favored by men. You were born to walk in more than enough. The good life is yours. You deserve it. Come on, say, I deserve it. Hallelujah. You deserve it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let no accusing voice of condemnation stop you from walking in prosperity. You deserve to be blessed. Hallelujah. You know, when I was meditating on this, the Lord began to talk to me about the prodigal son. And I want us to look at the prodigal son tonight. The word prodigal means someone who is wasteful, particularly with money. Amen. It's, you know, the word prodigal son means someone, you know, who wastes money, spending it recklessly. That's basically the story of the prodigal son. And we can find the story in the book of Luke, chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. I want us to read it. Luke chapter 15. Glory to God. Everybody turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 15. So God daba daba handy. Is it verse 13 now or 31? Alright. Let's start from 11. It says, and a certain man had two sons. This parable was told by Jesus. He says, and a certain man had two sons. He said, the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. First of all, that was like an insult. Because usually, inheritances are shared when the father is dead, right? So it was like the son going to be like, well, me, I can't wait for you to die. Give me my possession. You know, and the father, the Bible says the father did. The father divided unto them his living. Hallelujah. 13, he says, not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there he wastes all the money on living. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Paraphrasing, right? Verse 14, he says, and when he has spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Money don't finish. Guy don't broke. Amen. There was no money anymore. He was done for. Hunger don't show. Hallelujah. What did he now do? He went to go and join himself with somebody in the country. And then they sent him into the fields to feed wine. This was somebody that his father is rich. A rich kid. See how he's now living life. He's now doing animal husbandry. 17. Or is it 16 now? Okay, it says that he filled his belly with the ox and the swine, and that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. Nobody even better whether he will eat. They were just giving him food to give the swine. So that's what he was eating. You can see, he had poverty had finished and wrecked him to the point that he's eating animal food. Then one day, 17 says, when he came to himself, he was like, he said, how many hired servants are in my father's house? These people, they have bread enough to spare. And I'm here, I perish with hunger. No. It was like, He said, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against you. I have sinned against heaven and against you. 19 says, I am no more worthy to be called your son. He says, make me one of your hired servants. At least that one, you know. Servants, they see the seafood chop. But me, where I am right now, it's better for me to be a servant in my father's house than to be here. And then he arose and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck, and his father kissed him. His father had missed the son. Oh glory to God. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and no more worthy to be called your son. There's one word that keeps, you know, ringing in this story, is son. It says, but the father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring either the father's calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. You know, I want you to picture somebody who has been eating animal food. Number one, he would have been smelling, dirty, you know, with tattered clothes. Somebody has been eating pig food. Imagine how his mouth would be smelling. But the father embraced him and kissed him. Prodigal son's story shows us about the love of God, the compassion of God, how that he forgives sinners. But tonight I want us to see it in another dimension. I want us to see how that this prodigal son, how that condemnation, that word called condemnation, the game of condemnation, was actually what drove him to start eating pig's food. Until he came to himself. Amen. I'm sure when, you know, his money finished, he was like, no, I can't go back. I can't go back home. I'm a man. I have to take care of myself. What my father say? No, I cannot go back home. My father rejects me. He was feeling condemned. He has made a mistake. He has spent all his money on useless living. So he went to go and start working in the country, doing also job, hustler. Started hustling and then eating pig food. But the Bible says he came to his senses. Amen. So condemnation was actually what kept him living like a pig. Even when his father, servant, had more than enough. Thank God he came to his senses. Hallelujah. It was not just him that condemnation hanged, actually. Because if you read the story of the prodigal son, the Bible says the elder brother was angry. The other brother was angry, like, Father, all these years I've been with you, you've never even given me one animal, one goat, to say let me kill with my friends and marry. But your son now comes, you are doing party. But see what the father said. Father was like, you are always with me. And he said in verse 31, he says, all that I have is yours. So, why did he not ask the father if he wanted a kid all this while? Why did he ask him? Condemnation. This thing happens to some of us. You guys, as your siblings in your family, you want something from your dad, but you go and send your younger one. Go and tell dad, go and ask daddy. Go and meet daddy for me. Why can't you go and meet daddy yourself? Condemnation. You feel daddy won't listen to you. You feel you don't deserve daddy's response. You feel you don't deserve daddy's love. Condemnation has kept many of God's children as slaves when they are sons. Condemnation itself was still worrying him. It's not like he was still, he was still even condemned. Just like he came to his senses. Because when he said, I'll just become a servant. Because I don't think I still even deserve to even be a son anymore. Let me just be one of his servants. But before he even said that to his father said they should bring the best robe. Oh. God was like, see, I don't know what it is you think you've done. You may think you don't deserve to walk in prosperity. You may think you don't deserve to eat the best food, to live the good life. Bring him the best robe. You deserve to wear the best. You are a son. Hey, Shagadiba Lagadabahaya. Daughter, you deserve to wear the best. You are a son. Ali Gadaba says, put a ring on his hand. You belong to this family. You belong to the family of God. You are not a slave. You are not a slave, beloved. You belong to the family of God. And he said, put shoes on his feet. Put shoes on his feet. Put shoes on his feet. You are not meant to suffer. You are my son. You are my son. You are not a slave. Ali Gadaba Dabahaya. And he said, kill the fattest calf. He sent his servants on errand. Go and kill the fattest animals. Let us party, for my son has come. You deserve to be favored. You deserve favor. You deserve favor. You deserve people running around to ensure that you get the best, to ensure that you are satisfied. You deserve it. You deserve it. You are a son. I don't know if you know this song that says, I'm no longer a slave. Hey, I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to lack. Shinamande balada. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to lack. Oh, I am a child of God. Condemnation. Condemnation. I silence that voice accusing you that you don't deserve the good life. In the name of Jesus, you deserve the good life. Amen. You are a son. Jesus became poor for you, that the good life may be yours. John 10:10. Jesus said, I come. I come that they might have life and have it to the full, to live it in abundance. Condemnation. That's the game the enemy is playing with some of you. Telling you don't deserve the good life. Telling you don't deserve the good life. You know that our prosperity is yours. But that voice keeps accusing you. I don't know, maybe it's because maybe you squandered some opportunity that came to you, that God brought to you. Like the prodigal son, you messed up a particular opportunity. You messed up a particular favor that God brought to you. You messed up some money, and then the enemy has tied you down with condemnation, making you feel like, when God brought that money, what did you do with it? When you're supposed to do this with it, invest with it, see what you did, your life, all your mates. Condemnation. Condemnation. I silence that voice tonight in the name of Jesus. I don't know who has even spoken and sown seeds of condemnation, telling you that, see, you don't deserve to drive the car. You don't deserve people to favor. Who told you so? Who told you so? You deserve the good life. You deserve to own that. It was made for you. It was made for you. Amen. Glory to God. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6, verse 17, it says that God richly supplies all that we need for our enjoyment. God wants you to enjoy life. You deserve it. Hallelujah to God. Because of this condemnation, some of you do everything concerning prosperity. You work hard. You're not lazy. You tithe. You give. Even when you give, you don't even see your harvest, because the condemnation that is on the inside of you is pulling away the harvest. You can't even recognize it. You can't even recognize the opportunities because you're scared. I don't think I deserve to be earning seven figures. I don't know. I don't think I did. Who told you? Amen. He that sweat bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Hallelujah to God. Amen. You deserve it, beloved. You know the seeds you sown, the times you cleared your account for the cost of the gospel. Don't allow the voice of condemnation tell you that you don't deserve to walk in abundant harvest. You deserve it. Come on now. You deserve it. Say, I deserve it. I deserve prosperity. It is my right. The good life is mine. The good life is mine. The good life is mine. I don't have to pay for everything. I don't have to buy everything. The good life is mine. I deserve it. I deserve it. Glory to God. You are a son. You deserve it. The Father showed. The father of the prodigal son showed the son that he deserves it. He told him, bring the robe. He told the servants, bring the robe. My son wants to be like a servant, but I'm going to tell him, I'm going to remind him that he's still my son. He said, bring the robes, bring the robe, bring the ring. Ah, my son cannot come and say he wants to be a servant. No, I have to distinguish him. Bring the robe, put a ring on his finger, put shoes on his feet. He is my son. You are a child of God. You are born of God. The Bible says in 1 John 3, it says, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God. You are a son of God. You are a son of God. You are a son. You deserve it. You deserve it. Come on, say, I deserve it. I deserve prosperity. It is my birthright. Glory to God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Hey, I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to lack. I am a daughter. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I'm no longer a slave to lack. I am a child of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You should put it in your mouth. I am a son. I am a daughter of God. I am a son. I am a son. I am a son. Prosperity is my right. Prosperity is my right. I'm not going to sit down and allow lack eat me up. No! I am a child of God. Hallelujah to God. The father said to the elder son, Luke 15:31. He said, son, you are always with me. All that I have is thine. And then the parable ended. I mean, if we want to continue it by the Spirit of God, the father should have said, if you want goats, it's just for you to ask me. Or it's just for you to even go and take it. Just for you to go and take it. Take it is yours. Hallelujah to God. Take it is yours. Prosperity is there for you. Take it. Take it. Take it. Amen. Some of you are begging God. God, if only you can just please God, let me see food to eat today. And God is like, I don't get these people. I already made Jesus poor for them. Why are they begging me as if they are some beggarly elements when they are my sons? Hallelujah. Oh, that I have is dying. If you want, it's just to go and take it. Take it. Take it. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 11 verse 23. He said that if you say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and you don't doubt in your heart, says if you believe, he said it shall be yours. What do you want? Can you take it? Can you possess it by faith? And you possess it by faith and call it forth and claim it is mine in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. We are sons. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. I'm reading from the TPT. It says, for the Holy Spirit makes God's fatherhood real to us. As it whispers into our innermost being, you are God's beloved child. Are you God's beloved child? I am God's beloved child. I don't know about you, but I'm God's beloved child. It says, and since we are his true children, watch this. It says, we qualify, to share all his treasures. Hayaga dabahaya. All that I have is thine, son. If you wanted kids, if you wanted goats, you would have just asked me, or you would have just got to take it. It says, all that we have, all that he has,
we are qualified to share all his treasures. For indeed we are heirs of God. Hey, we are heirs of God. And since we are joined to Christ, we also inherit all that Christ is and all that he has. I'm no longer slave to lack. Hey, I am a child of God. Hallelujah. It says, and we will experience being co-glorified with him, provided we accept his sufferings as our own. Amen. Glory to God. If you accept to be persecuted, people say, I own it too much. You go to church too much. You say, why can't you accept to walk in abundance? Did you see Jesus beg anybody for bread, for money? He multiplied breads. He paid bills. Hallelujah to God. You are a son. Glory to God. Stop living like a beggar. Stop living like a slave. You are not a slave. Amen. Whatever it is you need, talk to the Father about it. Ask him, he's your daddy. Come on, he's your daddy. He loves you. He wants to meet your need. He wants you to wear the best of the robes. He wants you to wear the best of shoes. He wants you to live big. Prosperity is yours. Hallelujah. He wants you to live big. Amen. He wants you to live big. Jesus said in John 16, verse 23, read to 27. He says, in that day, you will not ask me anything, no. He says, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he says, he will give it to you. He will give it to you because all that is us. We have been qualified. Did you not read it in Romans 8 that we just read? It says, and since we are his true children, we qualify to share all his treasures. Hallelujah to God. How many of you here, your parents, they have cars? Multiple fleets of cars, and then you want to now move about and you know how to drive, and your father will say, go and take care. Won't he tell you, please take one of the cars, son, take one of the cars, daughters, you know, and or maybe gives you a driver to drive you around. He says that the Father, whatever you ask in my name, he will give it to you. Our God is not stingy, he's not greedy, he's a giver. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If you're not born again, you need to receive Jesus into your life. Just say, Lord Jesus, I confess you as Lord and Savior. Oh, come into my heart, forgive me of my sins, be my Lord and Savior. Glory to God. If you said that prayer, you were born again. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus gave you his son that you might be saved, that you might share, become heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. You don't have to struggle any longer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus said in verse 26, he says, at that day you shall ask in my name. Oh, let's read 24. He says, hitherto you have asked nothing in my name. He said, ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. You are not asking, so you are not receiving. Your joy is not full. You are not happy. You want something, you want a car, ask him. You want, you know, scholarship, ask him. All that he has is yours. All that belongs to him is yours. He says, the cattle on the thousand hills that belong to me. Hallelujah. You want some of it, you ask. Amen. Glory to God. And as you grow in your walk with him in faith, you demand, you go there and claim it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, for the Father himself loveth you because you have loved me and I believe that I came from God. The reason the Father meets your needs, the reason the Father told the servants to bring robe and shoes and ring is because the Father himself loveth you. God loves you, beloved. He's not happy to see you broke. He's not happy to see you down. He's not happy to see you broke. He's not happy to see you down. He's not happy to see you sad. He's not happy when your needs are not met. The Father himself loved you. He wants to meet your needs. He wants you to wear the best robes. He wants you to have the good life. He wants your needs to be met. He wants to furnish you in abundance. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9, it says, being furnished in abundance. God wants you furnished in abundance. So he furnished the prodigal son, his son, in abundance. He changed his look in a twinkle. God wants to change you. He wants to change and lift you. Lift your head. You've been living from mouth and to mouth. Today ends it in the name of Jesus. You are a daughter. You are a son. And the Father himself loves you. Can we just lift up our hands and say, thank you, Father. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Hey, I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, I am a child of God. Hey, I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, I am a child of God. Hey, I'm no longer a slave to fear. Hayada barabaha. I am a child of God. Hallelujah to God. Amen. I'm going to send a song I'm singing. Just play it and, you know, even as we close tonight. God bless you. Have a wonderful night, first. I love you all. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Hey, I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to lack. I am a daughter. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I'm no longer a slave to lack. I am a child of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You should pull it in your mouth. I am a son. I am a daughter of God. I am a son. I am a son. I am a son. Prosperity is my right. Prosperity is my right. I'm not going to sit down and allow lack eat me up. No! I am a child of God. Hallelujah to God. The father said to the elder son, Luke 15:31. He said, son, you are always with me. All that I have is thine. And then the parable ended. I mean, if we want to continue it by the Spirit of God, the Father should have said, if you want goats, it's just for you to ask me. Or it's just for you to even go and take it. Just for you to go and take it. Take it is yours. Hallelujah to God. Take it is yours. Prosperity is there for you. Take it. Take it. Take it. Amen. Some of you are begging God. God, if only you can just please God, let me see food to eat today. And God is like, I don't get these people. I already made Jesus poor for them. Why are they begging me as if there are some beggarly elements when they are my sons? Hallelujah. All that I have is thine. If you want, it's just to go and take it. Take it. Take it. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus said in Mark 11 verse 23, he said that if you say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and you don't doubt in your heart, says if you believe, he said it shall be yours. What do you want? Can you take it? Can you possess it by faith? Can you possess it by faith and call it forth and claim it is mine in the name of Jesus? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. We are sons. Romans chapter 8. Verse 16, I'm reading from the TPT. It says, for the Holy Spirit makes God's fatherhood real to us. As he whispers into our innermost being, you are God's beloved child. Are you God's beloved child? I am God's beloved child. I don't know about you, but I'm God's beloved child. It says, and since we are his true children, watch this. It says, we qualify, hey, to share all his treasures. Hayagadabahaya. All that I have is thine, son.
If you wanted kid, you would have wanted goat, you would have just asked me, or you would have just got to take it. He says, all that we have, all that he has, all that he has, we are qualified to share all his treasures. For indeed we are heirs of God. Hey, we are heirs of God. And since we are joined to Christ, we are also inherit all that Christ is and all that he has. I'm no longer slave to lack. Hey, I am a child of God. Hallelujah. It says, and we will experience being co-glorified with him, provided we accept his sufferings as our own. Amen. Glory to God. You accept, if you accept to be persecuted, people say, I own it too much, you go to church too much. You say, Why can't you accept to walk in abundance? Did you see Jesus beg anybody for bread, for money? He multiplied breads. He paid bills. Hallelujah to God. You are a son. Glory to God. Stop living like a beggar. Stop living like a slave. You are not a slave. Amen. Whatever it is you need, talk to the Father about it. Ask him, he's your daddy. Come on, he's your daddy. He loves you. He wants to meet your need. He wants you to wear the best of the robes. He wants you to wear the best of shoes. He wants you to live big. Prosperity is yours. Hallelujah. He wants you to live big. Amen. He wants you to live big. Jesus said in John 16, verse 23, read to 27. He says, in that day, you will not ask me anything, no. He says, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he says, he will give it to you. He will give it to you, because all that is us. We have been qualified. Did you not read it in Romans 8 that we just read? It says, and since we are his true children, we qualify to share all his treasures. Hallelujah to God. How many of you here, your parents, they have cars, multiple fleets of cars, and then you want to now move about, and you know how to drive, and your father will say, go and take care. Won't he tell you, please take one of the cars, son, take one of the cars, daughters, and or maybe he gives you a driver to drive you around. Kamanzu Gadabahaya. He says that the Father, whatever you ask in my name, he will give it to you. Our God is not stingy. He's not greedy. He's a giver. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If you're not born again, you need to receive Jesus into your life. Just say, Lord Jesus, I confess you as Lord and Savior. Oh, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior. Glory to God. If you said that prayer, you were born again. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus gave you his Son, that you might be saved, that you might share, become heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. You don't have to struggle any longer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus said in verse 26, he says, at that day you shall ask in my name. Oh, let's read 24. He says, hitherto you have asked nothing in my name. He said, ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. You are not asking, so you are not receiving. Your joy is not full. You are not happy. You want something, you want a car, ask him. You want, scholarship, ask him. All that he has is yours. All that belongs to him is yours. He says, the cattle on the thousand hills that belong to me. Hallelujah. You want some of it, you ask. Amen. Glory to God. And as you grow in your walk with him in faith, you demand, you go there and claim it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I say, for the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me and I believe that I came from God. The reason the Father meets your needs, the reason the Father told the servants to bring robe and shoes and ring, it's because the Father himself loveth you. God loves you, beloved. He's not happy to see you broke. He's not happy to see you down.
He's not happy to see you broke. He's not happy to see you down. He's not happy to see you sad. He's not happy when your needs are not met. The Father Himself loves you. He wants to meet your needs. He wants you to wear the best robes. He wants you to have the good life. He wants your needs to be met. He wants to furnish you in abundance. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9, it says, being furnished in abundance. God wants you furnished in abundance. So He furnished the prodigal son, His son, in abundance. He changed His look in a twinkle. God wants to change you. He wants to change and lift you. Lift your head. You've been living from mouth and to mouth. Today, ends it in the name of Jesus. You are a daughter. You are a son. And the Father Himself loves you. Can we just lift up our hands and say, thank you, Father. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Hey, I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, I am a child of God. Hey, I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, I am a child of God. Hey, I'm no longer a slave to fear. Hayada barabaha. I am a child of God. Hallelujah to God. Amen. I'm going to send a song I'm singing. Just play it and, you know, even as we close tonight. God bless you. Have a wonderful night, church. I love you all.